Hey guys, I'm Sam.
I'm Emma.
And I'm also Emma.
And we are relatable.
Hello.
So, today we have a pretty busy schedule, but we're just squeezing this in for you guys because we are just passionate.
We love our listeners.
Yeah.
So, basically, Sam just got back from golf, like a tournament. Yeah. I'm about to go to a study session because we are college students.
And I have to present at 10 p.m., which is where people should be sleeping.
10 p.m. tonight?
Yeah, it's, like, not a real present, but I have to practice. We have this thing at our school called Dialogo. Super boring. It's, like, we're a bunch of... Well, it's not. It's actually, like, really cool. It's, like, where students do research and blah, blah, blah. And, like, I have a... oh, no. That's my phrase. Everyone's laughing. Blah, blah, blah. So, I have, like, a campaign that I'm doing on public relations, mass media major. No one cares. But, like, so we have a campaign that we're doing, and that's what I'm presenting over tomorrow. So we have to practice it at 10. So anyway, we're all really busy.
That's
so
super
yeah.
Yeah, I just got back from Oklahoma City. It was 80 degrees there today. It was actually quite hot.
Ooh, so you're roasted toasted.
Yeah, look at my tan line.
Ooh.
I got sunscreen everywhere except for one spot, and now I have a V-neck tan line from my golf polo. So that's
cute.
Not what's up.
Oh, poor honey. The sun literally drains you. So we've been so lucky that lately it's been like 80. Or no, it's not. I'm lying. It's been like 70, like 75. So like perfect. Mm-hmm. But like we're not used to it. So we've all been like laying out. Well, Sam hasn't, but she will be because she's been golfing and killing it. But like Emma and I have been like laying out on like our little deck. And we've been like listening to country music and like having little like fruity like drinks and stuff. And like I like am exhausted by the end of the day. I don't know.
Oh yeah, the sun definitely drains me lately, but I'm here for it. I'm sick of that cold. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, guys, I was thinking, what if we did like a little debate?
Ooh. Okay, I'm into it. Go.
So, what is some like what's a good debate topic? What should we talk about?
Is water wet?
Okay. Yeah, I hate that.
Is water wet? This is the standing question.
Or is it moist?
Now we will argue our science.
No. That
water,
is not the argument.
Moist.
Water is wet.
I hate this. We need a better topic.
I feel like I saw an argument from someone who was like a biologist and talked about the molecules of water and how like the molecules themselves are not wet, therefore water is not wet, but it creates other things to be wet. Therefore, it is something that can create wetness, but it itself is not wet.
That's a lot. I was thinking of like, okay, let's say there's a sponge and it's wet, and you touch it, and then your hand is wet. Like, that sponge is wet. So that's how I think of water. I'm like, well, water is wet. Like, you touch the water.
Yeah, but I don't think the water itself, like, down to its core, it is not wet. But the outcome of it touching other things besides water is wet. It is a quality of it, like, of its outcome, but it itself is not wet.
Okay, next topic.
Okay, next
is a lamp. That's like saying is a lamp a lamp. I don't know. It's up to you.
Flat.
Oh no. Next topic.
This will get Savannah Bellum absolutely triggered.
Why?
She is so like distraught by people that think the Earth is flat.
Yeah, I mean,
understand.
I am too.
No, I can't either.
Me neither. Well, it's like, everything that we learn isn't true, but like,
like two people that, like, have considered it that I've talked to have considered it to be possible. They're like, watch documentaries about it. You'll change your mind. And I'm like, no.
I watched a documentary about it, and it made me think that everyone that thinks flat Earth is flat is not smart. That's what that made me think. It didn't change my mind. But there's just so much, like, research and, like, things that can prove you wrong.
We've been to space. We see what it looks like.
Like, just the horizon. Like, if you look, you can't see 300 million miles away, which that's an exaggeration, but, like, you can't see that far.
You can only see so far.
Obviously, like, you get in a plane, you can literally see the curvature of the Earth. Like, I don't know what else you want.
Then we literally have photos from space. Like, I've watched videos of astronauts taking photos in... I almost called them airplanes. Well, that's been a day. spacecrafts or whatever they're called.
Spacecraft airplanes.
Okay, so yeah. Basically no argument on this one.
Pretty much.
No. Well, let's
should
see.
We really get rowdy and talk about vaccinations?
Oh, no, because we all agree.
Yeah, I know, we
yeah,
do all agree.
Yeah, never mind, no. How about...
trying to think what else do I argue with people about? I feel like there's so many things. Me and one of the girls on the golf team were just talking about religion.
Ooh.
Last night.
Oh, I could
buckle up.
I could go on and on.
Yeah, because Emma G is in the same Quest class, and we're reading about a book by Phil Zuckerman about being secular, which is basically being secular is hard to describe. I don't know if anyone's ever asked you what it means, and I'm like,
I didn't even really know what it means until this class, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah, well, and it's like hard to describe still. It's like, it's different than being atheist, because atheists belong to like a group and they say like they definitely don't believe in God. Mm-hmm. They don't even acknowledge that there is a God. Like they don't belong to a thing. Like their group is that they don't, like, it's hard because it's not like they just don't acknowledge a God at all. Like they don't say
they don't believe that there isn't a God, so they're like not atheists, because
no,
they're
that's
like
agnostic.
Yeah, so they're like there might be something, but they're like they're for sure, like they don't know for sure if there is something, if that makes sense.
See, but that's agnostic.
Yeah. So they just like they're just kind of like
they
floating.
Don't even register, they don't even register a God, because like even agnostic, because that's what my dad is.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm not saying there is or isn't a God, I'm just saying I need proof. That's an agnostic.
So are they just like floating kind
so
of?
So they're just like, it doesn't impact my life one way or the other.
Yeah,
so I don't really care.
I believe in like a higher power, but not in like Christianity or like any other really kind of religions, like view of God.
Yeah, like, so in this chapter that we had to read for today's like homework or whatever, I was reading it last night, and basically the author was talking about how his old girlfriend, her dad, became a pastor in a church in Southern California, and basically he went to one of the services, and this couple had a newborn baby who was going into heart failure and was going to die within the month or so, and they brought this baby in front of the church, and the pastor asked for everyone to pray for the baby, and everyone like came together and started praying, and he said like, in that moment, he just, like, felt confused. He was like, I can't understand how you would think, you know, if you're religious, then you think everything is God's plan. Mm-hmm. Like, everything that happens is of God's doing. Well, if that's your belief, then why would you pray to God to change what he has already decided is your plan? Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's hard because...
It is
and
hard.
I was telling Emily this. I was like, I don't consider myself not religious, but at the same time, like, I ask those questions. Like, it's hard for me to, like, think about things like that and be like, yeah, God exists, or yeah, prayer makes sense, or... Because it's like, if you think about it like that, if, you know, you're supposed to follow God's plan, then why would you ask for him to change it?
Well, and then how could you have any emotion about what happens in your life? Like, you would just be content all the time because you'd be like, well, this is God's plan.
Yeah.
Well, this is fine. Like,
yeah, God wants
that
to happen.
My dog just got hit by a semi, and I'm okay because that's God's plan.
I know, and
so
it's
a lot of
like,
people do feel that way, but it's hard to feel that way.
Like, now that I'm, like, thinking about, like, I think about that, and I'm like, do they, it's almost like they use it as an excuse, and I feel bad saying this because I have so many religious friends, but it's almost like they use it as a reason to do things.
Yeah,
they're like,
no,
it's
I
God's
totally
plan,
agree.
Or I'm doing this because it's God's plan, or, you know, this thing.
If it's
thing
supposed to happen like that, it will. Like, it's supposed to be like that.
But it's like, at what point do you, like, have no control over your life?
Yeah,
you know?
I agree with that.
And that's like a spiraling thought, because you're like, does anything make sense? Like, what is the meaning of life? All that stuff. But
yeah. I choose to believe that it's like a combo of both. both, which, like, who has proof of that? Like, no, like, we don't really, but I just, like, I guess I just personally like that balance. So I'm like, no, okay, there's a little bit of predetermined, but I also can determine, like, part of my life as well.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. And but it's I like, also like to say, like, if it's supposed to happen, it will. So I don't know, but you also have to do that, too. You have to have, like, that initiative.
When I think of, when people ask me if I'm religious, I, like, don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Because, like, I go to church sometimes, but, like, the church that I go to is non-denominational, so it's not very, like, a forward, like, forces you to do things church. It just, like, interprets the Bible, and, like, we talk about it as a church, and there's a lesson in each, like, scripture, and then you leave. That's literally it. Like, it's not go find others to bring to our church kind of thing, you know? Like, a
I
lot
like
of
that,
church.
Though.
And I like that, too, it's because like, I feel like
authentic.
It helps me, like, you know, because there's some services where, like, I leave and I'm like, I didn't like that.
No,
you know, like,
I agree. Or you didn't gain anything.
I went with our friend Ashley a couple weeks ago, and I left and I was like, that kind of made me feel a little icky. Like, the way that he was saying things, it felt very judgmental and just, like, not what I was used to from the normal services there. And, you know, it's stuff like that where I'm like, am I religious? I don't know. It's, like, it's hard because I feel like I'm both religious and agnostic because I have so many questions, you know, and I question literally everything because that's all my parents have ever taught me is, like, you know, things are constantly changing, and to, like, further strengthen your opinions on stuff, you have to, like, take in new information all the time, and so it's, like, that's how you learn things is, like, constantly questioning it, so it's just crazy.
It's hard. It's a, like, pit that's, like, so great to continue to learn about. And I think, like, I don't know, we've learned this in our Quest class too, I think, is that, like, the people I admire when we're reading things is, like, I think our author does a great, like, job of, like, continuing to learn about each religion. Like, he went to that, like, service and he didn't know what he believed, but I think, like, you can benefit from, like, growing your beliefs. So, like, people that are stuck in their ways, they're like, I'm Catholic and I only believe in this, and, like, I'm not gonna change, I've learned this from, like, birth.
Those,
like,
people are hard to talk with.
Yeah, it's like you grow so much as, like, through college or through, like, past college or, like, through everything, that you have to change your beliefs. Like, you're lying to me if you haven't changed something of what you believe. So, like, I admire people that are like, I feel this way, but I'm also open to this. Like, I think it's cool when people learn about everyone's beliefs, and, like, I don't know, I just think you can always grow from learning about things.
No, I agree. And also, like, later in this chapter is actually really cool, and I emailed Pumphrey, actually, and
I
said I kind of want to, like, change my topic to the, like, something that happened in this chapter for our final paper.
Oh, that's awesome.
Excuse me, but later in the chapter, too, there was a super cool story about a man that survived the Holocaust, and it was, like, the most intense story. I was reading it to my mom, and I was just like, I can't even imagine. I mean, literally in the first paragraph, they talk about how he was standing in a line, and they pointed at five people in the line, and they stood forward in front of him, and they shot them one at a time in the back of the head.
Oh.
And they just, like, watched them, like, hit the ground, and there was literally nothing they could do, because if they said anything, they would get shot too. But this man had, like, the craziest story, and he got so lucky so many times and ended up escaping a camp, and pretended to be Polish for, like, I don't even know how long, like a year or something like that. Then ended up getting arrested because he was a part of, quote unquote, a part of the Polish resistance, and was about to get sent to Auschwitz, and then a German Gestapo noticed him as an electrician, and he got sent to another camp in Vienna. And then on his way to Vienna, found out that his mom and sister were on a train close to his, that they were stopped for a couple hours, but he couldn't, like, show that he was upset about it because he was supposed to be Polish, not Jewish. Yeah, and I was just
wild,
like,
right?
Crazy. And now he lives in America. It's just like, and he talks to colleges and colleges and high schools about his story, and it's just, he ended up becoming an electrical engineer and, like, doing really cool stuff. And I was talking to my mom after this. It's just, like, crazy to think about what the world would be like if the Holocaust didn't happen. And, like, all the millions and millions of people that don't exist now because their possible dad was murdered in the Holocaust.
Yeah. And, like, how our life would be different. Like, so everyone, like, not individually, but, like, collectively, like, what would be. That is crazy. I've never thought about that.
Yeah.
Ah.
Like, I was spiraling in my mom's hotel room last night because I was like.
And then, like,
millions of people died all under the hands of Hitler. And, you think about even this one man that survived the Holocaust had two kids who each had a kid.
Yeah.
So that's now a minimum of four people because he lived through the Holocaust. So if one person has one kid and they have one kid, that's a minimum of two people from one person dying. Like there's millions of people that don't exist. Like, think about all the things that could have happened.
Yeah.
Like, what if they had the cure for cancer or something we don't even know will exist because
that's a lot for a Tuesday.
It's a lot for a crazy podcast.
Yeah, hello, but welcome to it.
Literally, that was just like
that's so hard.
I know.
I don't know. And then there's people with like religion saying that everything happens for a reason, but like, ooh, that's hard to believe. Like, why would you want that to happen?
And that's exactly why I said this, and that's why it fit in this book, was because this man was like. The author interviewed him and asked him, you know, through this, did you ever pray? Did you, like, pray to God? Please, you know, help me, all this stuff. And he said, never once did I think about turning to God. I just thought about staying alive and how I was going to get out or what I was going to do next or, you know, just being in constant fear.
Mm-hmm.
And he also, like, he said, now I especially can't believe in God because how could I... If everything happens under God's will,
like why?
Think about all the terrible things he went through. Yeah. I mean, he was starved for days, watched his parents were parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, everyone but him and his sister were killed in the Holocaust.
No.
And most of them were gassed.
You couldn't believe
it. He literally was like the first camp that he was enclosed in was liquidated, quote unquote liquidated, and thousands of people died at once in the place that he was in. Like, and he had to live in constant fear of being caught by the Gestapo. Like, how could he, you know, say like, thank you God for putting me through all of this?
I don't know.
You know, and so like at that point, you have to respect that opinion, even if you are religious. I don't know.
It's a tunnel. I don't know.
That thing about like religion topics is like there's not really a right or wrong answer.
No, like, it's all there isn't because there's the no answer. There's no firm like period answers. Like you can't really confirm any of it. It's a book.
It's all the way you feel about it.
Yeah, it's how you interpret it. I think. I don't know. It's wild.
My brain hurts.
And me too.
Maybe we should call it.
Okay, well, guys, thanks for listening.
Tune in next time for some more mind-bending topics.
Probably a lot lighter than that.
Hopefully.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.